And with that 45-minute tune, we are introduced... 45-second tune, excuse me. We are introduced to Flee the Scene from Kansas City, Missouri?
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. Where'd you guys grow up?
I'm actually from Des Moines, Iowa.
Okay.
I'm from St. Joe, Missouri.
St. Joe, Missouri.
Yeah.
But currently based in...
Both. I live in Kansas City.
I live in St. Joe.
Our drummer lives in Leavenworth, Kansas, Lansing, Kansas.
And then our other guitar player lives in St. Joe as well.
Very commendable for the commute alone, if nothing else. I mean, that alone is enough to justify a listen to Flee the Scene. But there's music too, and here's some more of it. Recently signed to Face Down Records out of...
California.
Yep.
California.
Southern California. Southern. Yeah.
And how long have you been a band for?
We've been with our current lineup, what is it, about 2.5 years?
Just about two years. Yeah.
RL and I played in a band together. It was our first band ever about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then we went to kind of pursue our own things. I went to school, etc. Mm-hmm. And then after school, I was like, what do I want to do? And the best thing... that I had the most passion for was playing in a band with RL, so I moved back to Kansas City to do that. And then we hooked up with Aaron Emanuel just, again, about 2 years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I haven't even introduced you. Kim, and last name is Anderson?
Correct.
Very nice. And RL?
Yep.
Burnside?
Close.
You ever listen to RL Burnside?
Yes.
Bet you get that a lot. Sorry.
Maybe.
No.
I get RL Stine more.
RL Stine. One of the most underrated authors of my youth.
Goosebumps, man.
Perhaps overrated.
Maybe.
I don't know. The members who are not present.
Aaron Crawford is our drummer.
And Manuel Sanchez is our other guitar player.
Okay. So things happening fairly quickly. Seems to be moving along at a good solid pace. But I think that's because you've put in a lot of work. Your record sounds really awesome and pretty tight for a group that's been together for a short amount of time. I imagine this is not the first band that you guys have ever played in. Or maybe,
RL and I, the first one for us.
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm. 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 We've only ever played in bands with each other.
Yeah.
Aaron was actually in a band called Weldon for a few years and another band before that.
And so have you just been locked in your room woodshedding like 24/7?
It's been a lot of work. Me and her just spent a lot of time together just working things out, and me just sitting in my room and her sitting in her car driving,
She's back and forth. We practice in St. Joe.
So we get a lot done in the car.
Cool.
So.
Here, we'll listen a little bit more. Kim, you have a pretty powerful stage presence, at least as much as I can judge from the video I've seen of you.
Oh, yeah?
I just wonder, are you, that confident in real life? Are you, very outgoing, or are you more introverted and you're just kind of a crazy beast on stage?
I think I'm pretty quiet and pretty shy.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's not like I get on stage and I'm like, okay, it's time to go, but I don't know. I guess that's just kind of the way it goes.
Like climbing the rafters and stuff. Did you watch a lot of Eddie Vedder when you were a
kid? I definitely did.
Aspired to
Eddie Vedder.
Climb rafters
definitely.
One day.
Yeah. Definitely.
If she didn't have that bass on, we wouldn't know what to do. Luckily, that bass kind of holds her back sometimes. But then she can use it as a weapon too. So you got to watch out on stage.
Brutal. But I'm not the one that usually has problems.
That's
with
my
the
department. That's my department,
that's
actually.
So talk a little bit about the Kansas City scene that you guys came up in. Well, you came up in Iowa City as a teenager or whatnot, but around here in your formative Flee the Scene type stages, who were you listening to and who did you play shows with in the early stages?
Okay.
Yeah,
we're really lucky. Like, we love being from this area because there's Kansas City and you do not have to go far to be in St. Joe, Leavenworth, Lawrence, Topeka, Warrensburg. Mm-hmm. So we kind of came up in all those areas and they're kind of all like our home. We really started in Kansas City back in September when Billy Johnson from Shots Fired saw us at a show at the Hurricane and was like, okay, you guys are going to play with us. From there, we met Crux, the Architects.
Pixel Panda. Those have been some of our good bros.
We always love the esoteric from
esoteric,
Lawrence.
Esoteric, definitely. Eyes of Betrayer, you know. Aaron was involved a lot in the hardcore scene, and, you know, we were kind of involved in more of, like, the kind of rock scene, and then just kind of all melded together, really. And there's so many great and amazing, talented bands here, and we've just been fortunate to play with them all, and we just try to play as much as we can and try to make as many friends, because that's the only way you can do this, you know. It's just by friends, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times, so... It's been good.
Was El Torreon in Kansas City part of your development musically? You know, I know that's for a lot of hardcore kids, the place mm-hmm. where they really...
It was more for us to, like, go see shows there, because yeah. the place we really, I don't know, kind of cut our teeth was the Hurricane. Mm-hmm. We played there at least, like, once a month.
For a while.
And then, but, I mean, the majority of shows that we would go see would be at El Torreon.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, were you playing hardcore rock, or were you spinning ghetto rap at like 12:30 in the evening? Which one was it?
Spinning a lot of hardcore, a lot of Beloved, yeah. really. I saw Beloved at the Spitfire with Norma Jean, and that just blew my mind, and that really got me. Really, that clicked with me, and that's what made it happen for me.
There is sort of an unusual transition at the Hurricane, is there not? Around like 1 o'clock, it flips to like crunk southern.
Yeah, it does.
And do you guys stick around ever to dance?
We have
after
dance
that?
Party at New
dance
Year's.
Dance party at New Year's. I've stayed around many a times and had, you know, some good dance parties there. So
I like to dance.
There's Brandon from the Architects was really talking it up.
He on New Year's was cutting a rug, man. We couldn't even stay on the dance floor like all those guys actually were, and we had to leave. So next year is couple skate.
Yeah,
we're going to own couple skate next year. So there you go, Brandon.
How old are you guys?
I'm 24.
And I'm 25.
Emmanuel's 23.
Emmanuel's 23, and Aaron's 25.
Okay. So you came, I'm 24. Mm-hmm. So I came up same time as you guys.
Yeah.
And probably like me, I imagine maybe you were listening to grunge in high school. Mm-hmm. Maybe moved into punk at some point.
It was like Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, Smashing Pumpkins, definitely.
And then after that, I...
Jimmy Eat World.
That hit me that hard really, in
remember
college.
I remember you gave me that CD when we first met, and Jimmy Eat World just blew my mind, you know? He was huge.
Yeah, cool. Definitely. And I hear that in the music, for sure, a little bit.
Yeah.
Where did the harder elements come from, the screaming and the really shredding guitar riffs and stuff?
I remember I moved away to finish school, and I got Full Collapse Thursday,
yeah.
and he got Thrice.
Yeah.
And then when we came back together, we were like, hey, check this out. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of influenced, you know, just as whatever you listen to kind of comes into it, but we never kind of let go of those rock and roll things, because mm-hmm. we like all different kinds of music. So does Aaron and Manuel, so mm-hmm. it's nice we can just pull from all of
yeah.
it.
Yeah, Manuel came from like Desperacitos and Bright Eyes and Cursive and on that level, and so we all just had this very various, like, you know, and we just started playing, and it just everybody started doing their own thing, and it just really seemed to work, and it was great, you know. We always say from Reggie to Refused, you know, and it's all up there and ready to get used, so we just take it all, you know.
You know, one of the things I was talking about with Brandon earlier was how nobody really moves at rock and roll shows anymore these days. There's a lot of head nodding and standing still. And when I listen to this music, it strikes me as the kind of stuff that kids should really be going nuts to.
Yeah.
You know, do you find that at your shows, or do you find general stillness?
We get both. Sometimes there's a riot going on and kids get thrown out. We had a show in St. Joe where we actually got banned from playing there because the kids tore the place up so bad while we were playing. They were crowd surfing and they tore down this big line. They climbed on each other and started just like caroming across this line while we're playing. And so we've seen a lot of that awesome crowd interaction, but we've seen the head nodding too. It gets so quiet the minute we hit the stage, doesn't it?
It does. And right from the beginning we experienced that, and we'd be like, why is it so quiet?
Yeah.
And then we find, like, as people see us, you know, more than once or hear our music, then they can interact more. But we still, I mean, if we play someplace we've never been, it's stillness, you know, and people just observe.
Mm-hmm.
And we think, man, they hated us. But afterwards they're like, wow. You know, that was really interesting to watch. So we try to take, it's obviously more fun when people are getting into it, but yeah. we like both. We're just excited to play.
Yeah. And I grew up listening to Waterdeep out of Kansas City, and that was just a band that was really interactive, but it's more of like a jam band, you know? And so there's dancing and stuff. And then as I got into punk, you know, totally hit the pits as a kid, you know, just getting crazy. So now I find myself at shows just really watching, you know, the swinging and kicking has slowed down a little bit on my end, but
I got beat up too much.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. I did get kicked really hard at a Juliana Theory concert at the Beaumont when you first moved back.
I was in the back. I was like, have fun.
I was having fun until I got kicked.
Oh, we met Manuel at that show again.
That's right. That was weird.
Yeah. It was weird how it all worked out.
So tell me a little bit more about this place called Munchies in Kansas City.
Munchies.
Yeah.
Well, we did an interview for The Buzz. Journey had us on for Homegrown, and this guy called, and he was like, he wanted directions.
He wanted to know where Munchies was at, and he kept calling back, like, over and over and over. And so we had never been there, so we were just like, what is this place? And come to find out, it is what it is. It's a place where you can get munchies, like Twinkies.
What else? Ho-hos. Doritos, maybe.
And it opens at
4:20 p.m.
and closes at 4:20. So if you can infer what that means, I know some of you can and some of you can't. But it made for an interesting thing. But we got to heckle the guy and had a good time. And then some other lady called in and was like, I'm baking. And we're like, you're baking?
Are you at Munchies?
You're at Munchies? And she was like, no, I'm baking with my mom. You're like, you bake with your mom? Like, it was rough. So, yeah, Munchies. I don't know. Big ups to them. We're going to go get a Twinkie later, I guess.
No paid promotional advertising for this podcast, should be mentioned. So we're listening to a record that isn't even out yet. It comes out on March
14th.
On Face Down Records, generally like a metal label.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys a metal band?
No.
We're just, what we are, we're just rock and roll.
Just mixed in with some hardcore and some indie type stuff. And they just, you know, they fell in love with the record and they picked us up. And
We couldn't be happier.
It's a great
They've
label.
They've been so awesome to us and we're so excited to work with them.
We feel pretty accepted too by the other bands that are on the label, you know.
Can you tell me some of the other bands?
Sure.
Nons
of Rambier, Inked in Blood.
Bloodline Calligraphy.
Yep. A Love for Enemies.
War of Ages.
Let's see, Anam Cara, Symphony in Peril, No Innocent Victim, Comeback Kid was on there.
Mm-hmm.
Sinai Beach also was on there. I don't want to leave anybody out, but yeah, just go check it out. It's facedownrecords.com, and you can go check it out. And it's a good label. Definitely, you know, pretty much a straight-up hardcore kind of metal-type label, but they're looking to diversify, and we're part of that, so we're happy.
Are they doing anything differently in the digital age of music? Have you at all spoken about, you know, like, new ways of being a band, whether it be, you know, getting your music out there, you know, for downloading and stuff, as opposed to like traditional CD distribution. I mean, I just wonder, because I just got an iPod for Christmas, mm-hmm. and I'm really starting to wonder if people are still going to be buying CDs in a while.
I don't know.
It's, or is that their worry and not yours?
They've been doing it for a while, and I feel like they got a pretty good handle on what's going on. And I still believe kids definitely go to the record store and pick up CDs, you know?
Still, but
yeah.
But for how long?
I don't know. But
it is a lot different. I mean, when I was a kid, there is no MySpace. I couldn't just find any band and go listen to some of their CD. But honestly, it's really great to go and preview that, but I still want the CD, you know?
Oh, because I just want to be on MySpace all night. That's really just like 4 hours and some hot chocolate.
Yeah.
I'm good.
MySpace is...
It's a black hole.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, wow, there's a new Tila Tequila song up. Sweet.
That girl is hot. Not really. She's really number one in the unsigned artist. But
yeah.
I don't know. I guess sex sells... unsigned bands, I guess.
Show is coming up real quick.
Yeah, it is.
It is at the Granada, and it's on...
this Friday.
Yep.
Is it the Friday the 13th?
Yep,
it's
Friday the 13th. So if you want to dress up, do it.
What sort of dress code would be, you think, appropriate?
I don't know. Jason masks, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'd like to see some sort of thing like
pirates
that.
Pirates are always a good idea.
We're down for pirates.
You're going to dress up.
I don't think that has anything to do with Friday the 13th, pirates are always cool by us. Ninjas are starting to creep in on me. I'm sorry. I've been getting hit up by the ninja side lately. I don't know what's got into me.
It is this Friday.
Yeah.
The 13th.
At the Granada.
We are playing with Devon, who they're local from Lawrence. They're amazing.
Great band.
Lost 80.
We grew up with those guys.
We did.
Yeah, Devon, definitely.
Lost 80, A River Forth, which for like the last year we've almost been on tour with them. We've played so many shows with them. They're like our brothers.
Definitely.
And then we're playing as well. Doors are at 8, and it starts at 8:30 with Devon. So if you're going to come, please come early to see them because they're incredible.
Great band.
Granada, I must say, has done a great job in the last year. Reconnecting with the local music scene.
Yeah, totally.
Pretty much every weekend you can find a good like 4-band local bill at the Granada, and probably worth commending them for that.
Yeah, touche to that.
And probably best sound system in town, dare I say. Just in terms of money, probably.
Yeah.
But I remember a time when I came to this town and we called that place Granasty.
Ah.
Because all you did was bump and grind and get nasty, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think I remember hearing about the good dance parties that were going on at the Granada.
Well, maybe you were at the good dance parties that were going on.
Did I see you there?
It's possible. You could have seen me there.
Ladies night. So, at any rate, what are the plans for the next couple months? New Year's resolutions, you know?
Shed that freshman 15 that I've had for 4 years, man.
For real?
Yeah.
That perpetual in a band freshman?
Jeez, yeah.
What are we doing?
We got a lot going on. We're going to be torn, starting in March.
March, right after the record comes out, we are heading out.
We're going to do South by Southwest this year. We just found out today, actually. It's good to go. So start out in
Texas. Head out to Face Down Fest, which is March 31st, and then April 1st. It's all the bands. And they have 2 days of awesome music. So we're heading out for that. It's our first time for that. We're very excited. And then we're coming back through the Midwest. We hope to stay on the road all year.
Yeah.
And we're kind of gearing up for it right now. We are doing a CD release on the day our record comes out, on March 14th at the El Torreon. Because, again, that's kind of where
that's
we
our home,
came
you
up
know.
Going to see shows. So we're doing that. But in the meantime, like February, we're going to branch out. We have a show in Joplin.
Springfield. Spencer, Iowa, Des Moines, possibly Omaha, Lincoln. Just kind of hitting up some places that we haven't hit up, you know,
there's
a lot.
Like we said, there's so many places around here to play. It's easy just to, you know, keep going around.
Track 9. Here it is. What's the name of that track?
Right Before You Disappear.
And are you the primary lyricist, Kim?
I write for my songs, and RL sings and writes whole songs as well. There, you have two on the record, and mm-hmm. I have the remainder. So we definitely both work together, but I write, I'd say, the majority.
Yeah.
Okay. If there was one theme that would dominate the content, subject matter of this record, what would you say?
That's actually an easy question for us, because we've kind of tackled that already. Even though all the songs ended up being about very different subject matter, when we lay them all out and we're like, okay, what is this really about? Every song was about turning doubt into hope and taking something that, you know, may be negative and looking at it in a different way or persevering through things. So that's why we call it Doubt Becomes the New Addiction, because it's so easy to sell out to those things and you know, just, you know, believe that you can't do something. But in the end, to pursue hope is a much harder route, but that's all we've got. So that's what it's about.
Yeah.
Care to add anything to that?
Yeah, just, you know, we all just went through so much, you know, to be in this band, and, you know, all of us personally went through a lot of sacrifice, you know, to be in a band and to do this. Just, it's our life. We love it. But it's interesting how it puts a strain on a lot of your personal relationships with people. And, you know, we gave up a lot to do this. And, we just had to turn to each other and say, you know, let's stay together and let's keep this hope alive, and just, again, turn away from cynicism and try to look at some positivity, you know, and it's what got us through, really. It's why we're here today, and it's making it happen, so.
Were there some hard choices? What did you have to, you know, give up in lieu of being in a band?
We basically turned our whole lives upside down. I went to college in St. Louis. I was a business degree, and I moved back to Des Moines to figure out what I was going to do. It's kind of random, but I kind of trained my whole life to be a dance instructor.
Really?
And I knew that my passion was music.
She's an amazing dancer.
Stop it.
No, seriously, I saw her do some ballet, and it's incredible.
That was my passion my whole life, and I knew that that wasn't what I wanted to pursue. So I had a job in Des Moines. I had a dance studio. I had danced at for probably about 15 years, and I moved to Kansas City, didn't know one person, got a job an hour away from him and being the only person I know just to pursue this.
Yeah.
And so that's where I've been, but the boys, they've all been through a lot too.
I went through a lot of relationship stuff where the person that I was with and would have been married to wasn't into that sort of me not being home and kind of leading that 9-to-5 lifestyle, you know. I did that and went down that road, and I was miserable, you know. I was just like, there's got to be something more, you know, for me. And I just went for it, and I'm a lot happier today, you know. So. It
takes a sort of support system, though, especially financially sometimes, while you're getting your feet on the ground, for sure. Who else is part of the extended, flee the scene team?
Yeah, our parents. Yeah. Our parents are a big deal, you know. Aaron's dad, especially Roy, has been incredible, you know, just if we needed, you know, when we didn't have a van at first, you know, he gave us his truck to use to get to go out, or if our van would be broke down, you know.
And your parents?
My parents are practice spaces there.
Did you guys have your stuff stolen?
No, we did not.
We're lucky.
It's hard to keep track because a lot of bands are getting their stuff stolen these days.
Our friends in St. Louis, Westcott had their stuff stolen. Yeah. Veda had their stuff stolen. So.
I think I might have been thinking about Veda.
I mean, that's such a horrible thing to have happen.
It would cripple a band. You know, you spend so much money on all that gear, and for that to go away is almost hard to get back, you know. So basically all of our families, it's been good.
So I'm going to put both of you guys on the spot a little bit and ask you to tell me your top three records that you would recommend to people.
Top three records. I'm stealing yours. Beloved.
Yeah.
Failure on that. Such an influence on all of us, but I'm going to take that one. You go ahead.
Thursday Full Collapse, that blew my mind, you know. So that's where really a lot of it started for me, was Thursday Full Collapse.
Big influence on me is Under Oath, They're Only Chasing Safety.
Number two, gosh, so many awesome records out there.
Here, I'll let you think a little bit while the music rolls.
Let's think some more.
Care to preview track 11 real quick?
It's different from everything on the record.
This one's from right here in Lawrence.
And it's called 300 Voices at Liberty Hall.
Title again?
300 Voices at Liberty Hall.
Could you explain a little bit on that
definitely.
One?
Yeah. What is it like? A year and a half, 2 years ago, we came to see Cursive at the Plea for Peace tour at Liberty Hall, and there was about 300 people there. It wasn't sold out. We went because we love Cursive.
Yeah.
And this one song, they just stretched out at the end, and it was beautiful. And I remember at that point just being, you know how music can affect you. I was just so overwhelmed. The words of the song are, the worst is over. And at that point, I mean, we had been going through a lot, just like we were talking earlier about like kind of persevering through things. And I knew that we were supposed to do this together. I was so thankful to have the boys, you know, just to be the family that we have. And I just knew that we were going to be okay. And it was like that song was telling that to me.
Yeah.
But everybody was singing it around us.
Yeah.
So it was like those 300 voices were being lifted, but I knew that that message was meant for me. So.
Forget me.
So care to fill in those final couple records?
Yeah, I'll definitely just go Smashing Pumpkins. You know, all of them. just go get every one of them, man. Billy Corgan's and Zwan, man. Zwan, right, really, on. Man. That one record blew me away, man. I wish they would have kept going, man. For real.
I would say Bright Eyes Lifted. It changed the way I thought about writing lyrics completely. So very influential on me.
How so?
His subject matter and how he forms phrases when he writes. I mean, just about like writing lyrics. So many people are so like into phrases. And he doesn't always rhyme, you know, but everything flows together in such a beautiful way. You could just read those words and it's music. So that changed just the way that I thought about writing.
Cool. Well, we'll wrap it up. Play the scene this Friday.
Friday 13th.
At the Granada. And thanks for coming in. The record comes out on Facedown Records as of March
14th.
14th.
You can get it anywhere.
And it is called...
Doubt Becomes the New Addiction.
Exactly. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks. All right.